It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody for being tuned in, locked in, listening all over North America. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Thank you so much to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. Thank you to you for listening. Driving home from work. Driving to work. Maybe you're at work. Working by yourself. Delivering things. Making money. Maybe you're working with somebody who's driving you nuts. Maybe you're just back and forth. I don't know what the heck you're doing. Thank you for being here, okay? I'll be with you for the next 3 hours. If you missed the first hour of the show, we talked about James Cook and his new contract with the Buffalo Bills. A running back getting paid. Good for him. And I helped them win the Super Bowl, or try. We talked about Shedeur Sanders hurt, dealing with an oblique issue. And as we continue on with the show, we got more to get into. How about this? To talk about everything going on in the NFL. Eric Edholm is going to join us from the NFL, NFL.com. He'll be here in about 20 minutes. We'll ask him about some of the other injuries that have taken place in the NFL. Antoine Winfield Jr. dealing with a leg injury. Chop Robinson dealing with a leg injury. Sauce Gardner of the New York Jets dealing with a leg injury. And there's some other questions in the NFL. What's going on with Matthew Stafford's back? How is Caleb Williams picking up the offense with the Chicago Bears? We'll get into that with Eric in 20 minutes. Of course, next hour, it's going to be time for a new top six list. We're going to take a look at some of the biggest cheaters in sports history. Because now we got college players saying, I didn't cheat. I didn't gamble. Well, man, new cheaters born every day. Maybe you're cheating right now. None of my business what you do in your personal life. Anyway, if you want to be a part of the show, you can do that too. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can also find me online. I am everywhere at JR Sport Brief. And how could I forget, right before we went to break, we talked about some winning streaks. Congratulations to the Brewers, the Brew Crew. They have won 12 straight games. They're trying to break a record or tie a record, their franchise record of 13 straight victories, tomorrow when they take on the Cincinnati Reds. The Brewers are doing this without some of their top players. Congratulations to them. The Mariners also on an 8-game winning streak. They're taking on the Orioles tonight if it doesn't rain, if the rain stops. We'll see. They're trying to push it to 9 games. And then also congratulations. I like when people stand up for themselves. Or at least, you know, they put their behinds on the line and say, you know what, I'm going to perform in the best way possible. Pete Alonso of the New York Mets, he's a first baseman. First baseman, you know, they're not kind of, how do I say this in a polite way? They're not valued as much as they used to be. Where's the first baseman? You know, Frank Thomas, more so a DH at the end. But the first baseman that you put there at first, he hit 30 to 40 home runs and drove in 100-plus RBIs. Them days are kind of gone. And so are the contracts that these guys used to get, like a Jason Giambi at the time. I think he got like $130-plus million. These guys used to get paid. Well, Pete Alonso of the New York Mets, he had to settle for a 2-year contract that would net him about $54 million. He has an option year. So at the end of the season, if Pete Alonso says, man, do you see what I just did? Pay me. He can opt out and become a free agent. The New York Mets can pay him, or he can say, all right, screw y'all. I'm going to take money from the Dodgers to play I don't know where, but he would try. Pete Alonso has been on fire this season. 28 home runs, 96 RBIs. Not quite an Aaron Judge bet on you season, but a big one nonetheless. And even last night, as the Mets beat up on the Braves, 6 home runs. Every time I watched that game yesterday, every time I turned my head, it was another home run, 6 of them. Pete Alonso had 2. And both of his home runs, well, tied and then surpassed Darryl Strawberry. for the most home runs in New York Mets history. What a way to bet on yourself. What a way to go out there and make some money. Hey, listen to the play-by-play from one of the best in the game, Gary Cohen of SNY.
And a ripple of anticipation moves through the ballpark with every Alonso at bat. Hoping to see some history. And Pete drives one to deep right center field, headed back toward the wall. It's out of here! Out of here! Pete Alonso stands alone! The polar bear on his own private iceberg! Pete Alonso, the most prolific home run hitter in New York Mets history!
Oh, good for him. It's nice. I hope he's going to get paid now. Bonchi, he has to opt out, right? He go tear that contract up. You got to pay me more, right?
It's only smart for the entire union, too, and your entire other first baseman to opt out.
Yeah, he's 30 years old. You just had a, I don't want to say a career year. He might have a career year. He is likely going to, well, he is going to opt out. And he's going to say, look what I did. And then next year, you know what's going to happen, Bonchi?
Back to being an all-star, but not as good.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Barely. He'll go back to being in the stupid home run derby. There you have it. Pete Alonso, he talked about just being in the company and surpassing Darryl Strawberry. Listen to this.
He's one of those kind of Mount Rushmore type players, like for the, when you think of like the, that championship team in 86 and also like just that, that whole 80s Mets team, not that entire decade, you think of Darryl Strawberry. So, I mean, he's one of the pillars of this organization and it's an honor.
He is a very nice guy too, by the way. I wonder what type of career he would have had if he didn't have other issues, but I digress. Big time. And good for Pete Alonso. Back in action tonight again, trying to beat up on the Braves. Man, the whole Northeast must be raining. It got to be the entire east side of the country. It's been raining off and on here in Atlanta. Little sun showers. Baltimore, the game is delayed against Seattle. Hello to people in Baltimore. New York Yankees are delayed against Minnesota. Mets delayed against beating up on the Braves again. Bonchi, is somebody out there doing a rain dance in the Northeast? What's going on up there?
Gotta be. And it's severe, too, so I don't know what type of moves they're pulling off,
damn,
but it's bad.
Yeah, okay. Did you get soaked on the way into the studio today?
What's crazy is I came in, there was no real sight of rain. It just felt a little humid. But right now you check your phone, there's like a severe thunderstorm warning. Yeah. People are being told to shelter in place. It's not
my
good.
My God. Yeah, you know how it goes, man. When that air is thick, it's nothing but moisture. It gotta come down somewhere somehow. So, yeah, some wild stuff. Let's see when they get this baseball in the Northeast. Not playing in Baltimore right now. Not playing in New York right now. So, we'll see what happens. I hope everybody is safe wherever you might be. But congratulations again to Pete Alonso. Like, this is what happens when you're dedicated. You can lock in and make yourself some money. You can lock in and end up with some positive results. You can lock in and maybe compete for a championship. Travis Kelce of the NFL, he basically admitted that he wasn't locked in the way that he should have been. Travis Kelce had a poor season last year. I get it. He's about to be 36 years old in October. This past year, 823 yards, only 3 touchdowns. I get it. He's 36, but not the type of year that you'd expect from him. You could look at him physically and see that he was a little wider around the stomach and the waist area. And so naturally, people looked at Travis Kelce and said, man, you're getting older. You've been jet-setting around the world with your girlfriend here, Taylor Swift. And the results on the football field, yeah, you're not exactly aging like a great tight end in Tony Gonzalez, who even in his older age, I mean, he looked like he was on TB12 before Tom Brady knew what TB12 was. And Kelce admitted it. He's over here doing photo shoots and GQ now. He told them, you know what, maybe I did spend too much time thinking about fame and thinking about outside opportunities, and said that his production might have slipped because he focused more on opportunities as an entertainer. Quote, I think I might have slipped a little bit because I did have a little bit more focus on trying to set myself up, he told GQ. and opportunities came up where I was excited to venture in a new world of acting and being an entertainer. I don't say this as I shouldn't have done it. I'm just saying that my work ethic is such that I have so much pride in how I do things that I never want the product to tail off. And I feel like these past 2 years haven't been to my standard. Yeah, we know, bruh. We know. This is what happens when you get a taste of success. It's human nature. Back-to-back championships, 3 championships total. You're trying to three-peat. You're like, life is good. I can celebrate. I can go to Australia. I can drink wine. I can do this. Man, take your ass to workout. They got something to prove this year, the Chiefs do. It's going to be difficult with Rashee Rice likely to be suspended. It's going to be difficult with an aging Travis Kelce. Maybe losing a few LBs will be a benefit to him. But if you're really going to focus in on the game and being better, was it necessary to talk to GQ? Can you stop and gold cold turkey? Did you need, and I'm not saying he will, are you going to SNL to announce this? Like, what are we doing? Just focus. Everybody has to tell what they're going to do. This is one of those things where people go on social media and they announce, hey, guess what? This social media thing is destroying my mental health. I am taking a social media break. And they're announcing it on social media. Just go away. Just go the hell away and do what you need to do and what you need to focus on, what you need to focus on. Did we need Travis Kelce and GQ telling us this? We saw you last year, bro. And then you had to accompany it with a photo shoot. The man is wearing a construction worker's vest, waist deep in water, showing off his hairy chest, slicking his hair back. And somebody was just like, yeah, this is a good idea for his branding. Man, we don't care about your branding. Go play football right now. Andy Reid, Mahomes, they talked about his photo shoot where he's, I don't know what he is, a construction worker from the Village People. I don't know. Listen to this.
It's great to be young, man. That alligator was 175 pounds or something. They made him hold it for quite a while, it looked like. So I'm not sure who was madder, the alligator or Travis. But.
Could it be down for a photo shoot with something like that ever in your life?
I'm 100% not. Like even like in the Everglades, just in general, like it's not my spot. Like I'm not a big alligator. Like I'm in Texas. If you get an alligator out there, it's like you shut the city down. So it's like, the pictures turned out great. He said I can borrow some outfits for game days, so I plan on getting those and see what I can look like with those outfits on. The fur, maybe like he had those big boots with that trench coat looking thing. I thought that might be good for a away game, maybe in Denver or something.
Oh come on. Like, did we need the photo shoot? It was only a week ago that Travis Kelce was telling everybody, oh, yeah, I flushed the Super Bowl memories down my brain. Man, you need to remember them. Listen to what he said last week.
Nah, man, I've thrown that thing in the trash. I moved on.
When did that moment sort of occur for you?
I don't know. I thought it would happen sooner than you can imagine. I was pretty focused on this year in the offseason.
Okay, yeah. Are you? In GQ? Is that really what happened? What about your work ethic? It fell off too, huh? This is what he said last week.
Trying to win Super Bowls, man. It's the only way you get there. And I think it starts in the off season and kind of when you get out here to St. Joe and you get in training camp, man, it really signifies like coming together, the chemistry, the culture that you need to have to keep getting better every single day, every single week throughout the year and hopefully playing your best football by December, January, and February.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Listen, I like how he tells GQ one thing and he tells the assembled media in Kansas City another. Travis Kelce, we don't need any more GQ photo shoots. We don't need any more articles. We don't need any more photos and podcast episodes with you and your girlfriend. Like, I like the Chiefs. I like them. I do. And it's bad. I like the Chiefs. I like the Bills. I like the Ravens. It's tough. It's tough for me. I don't have any allegiance to either one of them, but I root for them. They're not difficult for me to root for. But I'll tell you this. I like people who just show up, work, and get the job done with all the extra. Could you imagine if Lamar Jackson, and granted, he hasn't won a Super Bowl yet, but could you imagine if he was out here doing GQ photo shoots? they would be killing him. They'd be killing him in Baltimore. What are you doing? Win something first. Travis, you fell off. Nobody wants to watch anybody fall off. Stick to what got you there. And if anything, rely on your girlfriend at the end of your career. Do that instead. Trying to host everything and be everybody. Hey, be an NFL player first. Or quit. Don't just take the money and half-ass it. That's some JR wisdom. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk all things NFL, including Travis Kelce. We'll talk about Stafford's back. We'll get into James Cook and the Bills. We got a lot to discuss. We'll get into the Raiders and Geno. There's a lot to get into. We'll be joined by Eric Edholm from NFL.com and NFL Media. You'll be here with us in 5 minutes. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, we're deep into NFL training camps. We got preseason games. I know we got certain players who are just like, I want to get paid. We got other players who are sick of training. They want the regular season to start. We got guys who are hurt. It's the NFL, and we haven't even gotten to week number one. Right now, joining us to talk all things NFL is someone who works with the NFL, covers all things NFL, NFL.com, NFL Media. It is Eric Edholm. Eric, thank you for the time.
What's up, man? Good to hear your voice again.
Well, thank you so much. Likewise, I think first out of the break, Shedeur Sanders, two steps forward and another step back. Is he going to be able to play with this oblique? Can he get a shot? Is he going to be gone for a couple of weeks? Is he going to be okay? What are your thoughts so far on what's going on?
Yeah, I don't know the severity of the injury. Obviously, we just kind of got details of that today, but seems unlikely he'd play this weekend. And, you know, if you kind of listen to what they were kind of saying the plan was, I mean, it's Kevin sounded like he wanted to give one game to Shedeur, one game to Dillon Gabriel, and then kind of figure it out for the third one. And, you know, that's still possible, right? I mean, Gabriel's still been banged up too, so he's got to be able to play in this one. Pickett's been banged up. He didn't think Joe Flacco would play in the preseason, so I don't know how much of a look you really need to give Tyler Huntley at this point. But, yeah, I mean, it's like you said, after that game the other day, it kind of felt like, wow, the ball may be in his court a little bit. You know, he may be making a move. Joe's probably still the week one starter, but that number two spot is, you know, one step closer to starting. So we'll see. It's still up in the air. The soap opera continues.
Yeah, it's going to be a season-long soap opera with the Browns and their quarterback situation. We know that Shedeur is now dealing with this oblique. To what extent, we don't know. Out west, we do know that Matthew Stafford got an epidural last week. He threw the football over the weekend. Couldn't practice following that on Monday. What's the latest with him? Is it time to start going, hey, the guy's 37, he's had a history of back issues. Is there room for concern here?
Well, you know, it's not the first time, too, where the Rams have said Stafford's going to do something and then it doesn't end up happening. Remember, last year was the contract. You know, they kind of went to beyond the 11th hour. It was like the 13th hour that they actually got it done. That was a minor speed bump, but you know, there have been some setbacks along the way, health and otherwise, with him. And you know, at this stage of his career, where everyone kind of feels like he might be on the 18th tee of his career, you know, this could be the final season. You know, it sort of feels like Sean McVay has at least been prepping for the possibility of life after Stafford. And so, you know, what's next? I don't know. You know, it's hard to say, but, you know, they said Jimmy Garoppolo would not play in the preseason. Stetson Bennett, I guess, is going to get the vast majority of snaps. Do you have to keep three quarterbacks? Is Stafford a question for week one? Is this the kind of thing where you sort of manage it week by week and see where he's at? It's hard to say. They're being, you know, a little cagey about it, but we do have a little time here.
Wow. We got time to figure out how things work out. Meanwhile, we got a guy who's moving into his second year on the other end of things. If we take a look and go towards the NFC North, we see what's going on with the Chicago Bears. They got a new head coach in Ben Johnson. And slowly but surely, we're getting more and more word about whether or not Caleb Williams is mastering the offense. Of course, he's a second-year player. What are your thoughts on what the Bears are capable of in a crowded NFC North?
Yeah, they're, I mean, look, it's a division of fascinating teams, right? I mean, the Lions, after losing two coordinators, playoff, you know, shocking loss, and, you know, kind of what their next move is. The Vikings with a new quarterback and a loaded roster. And, you know, the Bears, I think, rank right up there, if not above everybody else, including the Packers, in terms of just what could this season be? It could be something far, far better than we saw a year ago. It could be way eerily similar to what we saw a year ago with inefficient coaching and, you know, Williams at times trying to do too much. He did some good things as a rookie, but you almost have to throw everything he did out last year. I know a lot of people obviously have been kind of down on him for not always looking pretty when he plays, and maybe getting fortunate in some cases, earning some sacks on his own name as well. But what we've heard from camp is that the precision, the efficiency, the little granular details of the game that the great quarterbacks can master or at least overcome in some cases, those are the things where he's still kind of picking up nuances of. And camp's going to be hard. I mean, he played well in camp last year and got some rave reviews, and then you saw how the season unfolded. It's not a harbinger of things to come necessarily.
No, it's going to be tough. Eric Edholm is here with us from NFL Media. Well, just even to think about the NFC North, we got Green Bay, where you got Jordan Love, who just needed surgery on his non-throwing hand. Detroit still has an amazing offense, but it seems like they're kind of running in place, still trying to stay at the top of the NFC. And then Minnesota has to throw out J.J. McCarthy. Is this not one of the more compelling divisions in the entire NFL, or is there another one?
I think that's the one, and look, all four teams, you could make a case for each of them winning the division. Now, some stronger than others, obviously. I think Detroit is, you know, has earned enough credibility the last 2.5 seasons to at least give them a puncher's chance here, even with the, you know, the brutal schedule they face, and even with losing Ben and Aaron Glenn. You know, those are tough hills to climb, but what they've shown, they can do it. Minnesota, I mean, the more I looked at their roster this offseason, the more I thought, boy, if JJ's just serviceable, solid, you know, I mean, make a pop play here and there, show some guts, avoid the turnovers en masse, you know, that could be enough to get this team, maybe not back to 14 wins, but really darn good. And Green Bay sort of sitting there lurking in the weeds. I mean, if this Love thing is minor, we've been hearing great things from Matthew Golden. He seems like almost like the new number one receiver there. So, yeah, this division is fascinating top to bottom and very talented too.
Well, Eric, you mentioned Detroit having a little bit of a leg up with the other teams there. I feel like the past couple of seasons from the NFC, you could take a look at Detroit, the San Francisco 49ers. Obviously, the Eagles have bounced here. We're not getting a lot from San Francisco. There's no contractual beefs with a Debo or an Ayuk. Yeah. We know Debo is gone. Ayuk is hurt. They're expecting guys like Ricky Pearsall to step up, Christian McCaffrey to be healthy. Brock Purdy has been paid. What are your thoughts? Are the 49ers still in that competitive space, or they've gotten younger? It's going to take them some time.
Yeah, you really make a great point, which is that there hasn't been that much drama. I guess the drama was in March and April when they were, you know, taking some personnel hits and trying to patch it with free agents with what they could spend and then use the draft as, you know, I think they had, 10, 11 picks. And I think they used them rather well. At least the early returns seem pretty positive in a lot of respects. And, you know, they have a schedule I think they can manage pretty well. I think it's a division, while competitive, top to bottom, maybe not quite as good as the North, but still winnable. I still think they can win that division, and people sort of moved on from them a little bit. And I, like you said, for all the tough spots they put themselves in or had to be put in, you know, trading Debo away and Ayuk's injury and everything else. And, you know, I still think they can bounce back. So it all depends on what that defense can provide them. You know, Eric, took some pretty big personnel hits on that side, and a lot of young guys got to play.
Oh, yeah. They had some name brands that they're now hoping turn into name brands. To help the 49ers win. Eric Edholm is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. Covers all things NFL for NFL.com. When you take a look at the AFC, obviously we have Cincinnati. They're trying to get things together. Trey Hendrickson still doesn't have a deal. The AFC North seems to be almost just as competitive outside of Cleveland. Is Cincinnati going to be able to turn things around?
Yeah, right. Same sort of story, right? It all depends on what is going to happen with Trey Hendrickson. Is he going to report? Is he going to pull a Chris Jones and sit out the first game and the Bengals realize it was a mistake like the Chiefs did? You know, that's a possibility. I don't have insider information on that specifically, but you have to brace for like the worst case scenario. And they were bad with him defensively last year. He's a phenomenal player. So Al Golden's got a lot on his plate, but if Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and all those guys perform at peak level, you know, they can win a lot of 38-35 games still. So we'll see. I'm fascinated. They're the wild card, no doubt. And like you said, a three-team division right now with the Browns in fourth.
Well, Eric, we learned earlier today that James Cook, he got his deal, 4 years, $48 million dollars with the Bills. Trey Hendrickson is still looking for a deal. We learned Cam Hayward is looking for a contract now. Right. There's still a couple of guys. Terry McLaurin still wants his money. Micah Parsons with the Cowboys. Do you think any of these guys are really going to miss time to start the season? Do you all think they'll get a contract?
Yeah, and then I'll even throw one more spicy question on top. Are any of them traded? I don't think so, but the closer we get to kind of D-Day, the at least the percentage would figure to go up, theoretically anyway. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, there's just so many big names that you rattled off and we just sort of came up with right now that makes me think it wouldn't be shocking to see it in August or early September surprise. Remember, we had Khalil Mack a few years back, and that really kind of rattled the cages a little bit before a game was played. So, you know, wouldn't be totally shocking to see one of those situations boil over. But, I would say the Micah situation, there hasn't really been much clarity the last few days. And Hendrickson feels like the same status quo, same with McLaurin. No real updates, no sense. I think McLaurin and Washington can get something done. I still feel like there's plenty of goodwill built up there and that when it comes down to it, they'll find some common ground. But the others, who knows?
Yeah, Eric, you talk about surprises. Is there any surprise to you that, well, I guess you can't predict a surprise. Is there anything that you think might take place that isn't getting a lot of attention for this upcoming season?
Yeah, good question. I guess big picture. I mean, well, what if the Sam Darnold thing doesn't work out in Seattle, right? I mean, their offseason was really interesting to me. I mean, they were a very streaky team in Mike McDonald's first year. You know, Geno had some real high highs, and I thought it carried that team at some points, and it surprised me a little bit that they moved on for him. Now, I understand the appeal of Darnold, but, you know, he's switching offenses again, and you're expecting him to replicate what he did with one of the best receivers in football, not for the whole season, but, you know, he was there, Justin Jefferson, one of the best offensive minds in Kevin O'Connell. Can you replicate that in Seattle? Yes, Cooper Kupp's there, but does he have the same kind of support staff offensively? And does that system fit what he does? They want to run the football. Just a little bit of a curious approach. And I wonder if things don't go well, you know, that certainly could be a 1-year situation out there.
Yeah. I think he hit his, had his career year last year. I know Sam Darnold hoping that's not the case, but that may be the reality. You mentioned Geno. Is he babysitting this team along with Pete Carroll? Like, eventually Tom Brady's going to say, thanks, guys, and give him the boot, right?
I'm mildly encouraged. Yeah, you know, I think there's at least some short-term potential for fireworks. Like, you know, I don't think the Raiders are overtaking the Chiefs or the Broncos or, you know. But, you know, challenging the Chargers for third in the division or just being in the pack until late in the season wouldn't totally shock me. I mean, If Ashton Gentry settles into his role, I think he'll run into some walls at first. I think you're going to see him get bottled up. They're going to have to find ways to unlock him a little, but he'll get rolling. And you got Bowers, and, you know, Geno's a pro. Pete's going to get the defense fired up. I don't know. I have like a sneaky feeling they're going to at least be a fun, competitive, plucky team this year.
All right, that's I'm looking forward to seeing what a lot of these rookies do this upcoming season. We got to wait on Travis, and obviously whether or not Shador is going to play is a lot of question marks.
Unclass.
And then it is, and then Cam Ward not getting a lot of attention, and I guess
thank you.
That's a good thing, I guess, right?
I think he's going to have a good year. I think we're going to look back and say, why didn't we give him more time? Why didn't we, you know, talk about him on draft weekend the way we did Shador? Now, granted, that was that was a Haley's Comet kind of story. So I get that happened, but Am can do some, he's not the runner that Jaden is, but he can have that kind of effect that Jaden Daniels did on the Commanders last year, a get on my back kind of guy. And his arm is real. We've seen it now in the preseason, and I think he's going to have some moments this year.
Yeah, let's see if he can garner more attention in the regular season. Eric, thank you so much for the time. Where can people follow you and all of your work with the NFL?
The NFL.com. We're firing up the power rankings coming up this season. We'll have our weekly podcast with Mike Yam on YouTube, and looking forward to another year.
Hey, Eric, thank you so much. We'll catch you soon, okay?
All right, buddy. Appreciate it.
No doubt about it. Thank you so much to Eric at home from NFL.com. Yeah, Cam Ward, it's a great thing. Every time you hear or see anything related to Cam Ward, it's about how he's leading the team. He's galvanizing the team. Like, that's what you want. No drama, just ball. Let's see what he does to help these Tennessee Titans turn things around. I know Will Levis isn't interested in it, but I am. I know a lot of the Titans fans are as well. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. At the top of the hour, we're getting ready to give you a new top six list, taking a look at some of the biggest cheaters in sports history. When we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about, well, a cheater, his brother, and then a college student might have been a cheater. He says, no, I'm not. But right now, not a cheater, a great guy. It's Marco Belletti with a newsflash.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Eric at home for joining us in the last break. Coming through to talk to us about all things going on in the NFL. Shador Sanders' oblique injury. Contracts. Micah Parsons still doesn't have a deal. Trey Hendrickson doesn't have a deal. Cam Hayward doesn't have a deal. Terry McLaurin doesn't have a deal. Damn. Talked about some injuries. And Matthew Stafford with his back. There's a lot of interesting stories going on in the NFL. I'm just waiting for the regular season. Okay. I do not care. I think, is it tonight? Was it last night? We got Hard Knocks. I can't even keep up. Hard Knocks is, I don't want to say so uninteresting. But what's there to talk about on the Hard Knocks now? Just last week, they were like, hey, it's too late for us to get into James Cook. He started his sit-in right after we debuted and finished shooting our first episode. And now here we are today, like a week later, the guy literally signed his contract. The Buffalo Bills, can we get some more train wrecks in here? Like, just flip it up every single day. What are we doing? Like, let's get some interesting teams. Like, this would be an ideal year to have the Cleveland Browns just be a part of Hard Knocks, and we're just saddled with, well, unfortunately, the Buffalo Bills. Let me know when they're interesting. Let me know when the Bills win the Super Bowl, okay? 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. At the top of the hour, it's going to be time for a new top six list. We're going to take a look at some of the biggest cheaters that we've ever seen in sports history. We got cheaters going wild. Cheaters are rampant all over the place, aren't they? I'm not accusing Classe from the Guardians, but he's been put on leave as an investigation is going on. Don't know if he's out here cheating or not. I mean, just Tuesday night? Well, that'd be yesterday. Monday night, we got Oklahoma quarterback John Mateer coming through, telling everybody that he's not a cheater. People are looking at old Venmo requests that he sent that has to deal with sports gambling. And it's just wild. And then I don't know what the heck is going on with Michael Porter Jr. Yeah, the newest member of the Brooklyn Nets. New York City might eat him alive. And I don't mean the media. He may go outside and just he may become a different person. He's just on every podcast imaginable. And he's not only insulting his own damn brother, and we'll hear that in a minute. He's also telling everybody about, well, gambling. And I'm like, I know Adam Silver's sitting around pulling his hair out because this guy is just flapping his gums about gambling and why guys do it. Bruh, shut up. You're the only active NBA player who's running his mouth about this, stating the obvious, and it's just, it's concerning. Somebody from the Brooklyn Nets needs to get a hold of Michael Porter Jr. and just say, bruh, shut up. We know you're in New York. We know you're a member of the Nets. I saw he got his car towed the other day. He's been on the internet more over the past 3 days than he's been in his entire career. It's not a good look. Listen to Captain Obvious Michael Porter Jr. talk to us about why NBA players might consider, you know, gambling and maybe getting down with the sports books or just shady individuals, not the sports books. Listen to what Michael Porter said.
You get mad at these dudes that do the sports betting, but think about if you could get all your homies rich by telling them, yo,
no,
bet $10,000 on my under, you know, this one game I'm going to act like I got an injury and I'm a sit out. I'm going to come out after 3 minutes. And they all get a little bad because you did it one game. Like, that is so not okay. But some people probably think like that.
Yeah, we know that. Your brother did it. Your brother did it. We don't need an explanation. People have been doing it before your brother as well. What are we doing here? And he continued on. He's just like, oh, yeah. Listen to him talk about his brother specifically. Come on now.
They come from nothing, and 100%. All their homies have nothing.
100%.
And they're like, bro, if I come out of this game after 3 minutes and y'all all hit on my under, we're all getting a little bag. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I obviously my brother went through his situation. You know, Malik Beasley's going through a situation right now. Terry Rozier was in some hot water. But the whole sports gambling, like, entity, bro, it's bad, and it's only going to get worse, bro.
Why? We know. Why is he saying this? Bacha, the next thing you know, he's going to tell us that stealing from the church is wrong. That's what he's going to tell us next. He's going to explain it and break it down.
Well, in a weird way, I don't know if it's a good thing to be so naive, but he kind of does get the point. Don't gamble, you know.
Like he gets the point, but he's explaining the point to everybody else. Is he late to the party? Does this need to be something that's explained? If my brother just got banned from the NBA, and we all know gambling is rampant, and we've had NFL players who've been caught, your brother just got banned from the league. He's barely a player. I don't know if you should be the messenger. I think the best thing for him to do is just shut the hell up.
It's a good... Yeah, he shouldn't say anything at all. But some people have no filter, to say the least. And I don't know how he's so oblivious to talking about this situation, especially when it is your blood brother. I just... The whole thing with him saying it's wrong, when you bring it up, you inspire more people to do it. So I don't know if this is going to happen in college now. But if you say it and explain the issues of the gambling and injuries, it's going to get worse.
Yeah, it's like, hey, let me tell everybody, here's something that you shouldn't do, wink, wink. But it may help you out if you can get away with it, wink, wink. But I'm not saying anything because I'm too stupid to know anything. And he hasn't even played a game for the Brooklyn Nets yet. He's just, he was, and forget gambling. He threw his brother under the bus even more. He started talking about, well, I get it. My brother's vice is gambling and my vice is women. Bruh, this is now TMI, too much information. Listen to this.
Everybody has different things that they struggle with. That can go from people that struggle with alcohol, people that struggle with drugs. You know, my brother, for example, struggled with gambling. My vice has always come in the form of women. And when I'm far from God and like I'm not in my word, I'm not praying, I'm not prioritizing him, like that seems to be the place that the devil gets me is in the space of women.
Oh my goodness. Oh man. I'm glad he's reading his Bible. He needs to read it some more. Maybe the Bible will tell him stop doing podcasts. I hope somebody talks to him and tells him to stop doing podcasts. He didn't even finish there. He said it again. I love women and my brother loves gambling. We get it.
My brother, Jonte, he never seemed to struggle with that vice. You know, I never struggled with the gambling addiction. I never struggled with that vice. God gave me a lot of money because maybe he figured I could handle it and not, you know, lose myself in that area. And maybe Jonte, he wasn't blessed with tons of money because he struggled with that area of the idolization of money, you know?
God blessed him with money and God didn't bless him with, but God blessed him with women. Oh, look, somebody tell Michael Porter Jr. to not talk to anybody. Work out your back, had back issues throughout your career. Shoot threes for the Brooklyn Nets and just score points. That's it. No interviews, no more podcasts. And I don't know, maybe he's in New York trying to be a comedian. Michael Porter Jr., please. Somebody take the microphone from that guy. Please. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it is Wednesday. I'm going to bring you, speaking of cheaters and vices and all of these things, I'm going to give you a top six list of cheaters in sports history. Oh, yeah, I'm going to tell you who's number one. I'm going to give you a top six list of cheaters in sports. That's coming the other side of the break. JR Sport Brief Show, Infinity Sports Network.